Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads.
Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world.
Weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes.
Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10.
Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge.
However you get us, just make sure you do.
Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au.
Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running tech news podcast.
Tech Webcast, streamed from our brains to our mouths, to your ears, to your brain. It's like our brains are holding hands, brain hands. That doesn't really make sense, but Tech Webcast does. Tech stuff, gadgets, games. Come and wander around geek heaven with us. Tech Webcast, here, now, holding brain hands.
Welcome to episode 284 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 19th of April, 2014. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Please rate us on iTunes and like us on Facebook.com/TechWebcast.
Great intro, Steve. How are you, mate? Welcome.
Hey, I'm just happy I didn't screw it up.
No, you didn't screw it up, mate. You never screw up when you do the intro. Never okay. Screw up. You never. Great job, as always. No Jennifer, Jody, or Andrew. They are away. I'm not sure what they're up to, but they'll be back next week, hopefully. We've got Jacob on. Welcome, Jacob.
Hey, thank you for having me on, Brad.
No problem, mate. And you'll be doing the news very shortly.
Yes, I will.
And also, go ahead.
Try to crack them up.
Go ahead, mate. Also, we have got Scott or Sheeds from WP Down Under. Welcome, Scott.
Hey, hi, guys. Hi, Brad. Thanks for the invite.
No problem, mate. And we'll have a chat to you very soon, and you can tell us about what you do with Microsoft and sort of good stuff.
Sounds great.
Yep. Okay, Jacob, let's get into some news. I'll ask you before we do that. How's your week been, Jacob, by the way?
Oh, pretty good.
Any exciting things?
Well, I got my new TiVo and a new hard drive.
Nice one. You got that TiVo last week, and you got the hard drive this week.
It's worth it because now I found out a way to transfer from views.
Oh, nice one. So if you transfer your TV recorded shows onto your computer?
No, to my TiVo.
Oh, to the TV. Okay, so you can't actually watch it on the computer. Okay. All right, good stuff, Jacob. Enjoy that. Man, there's also a video as well of the unboxing of them two videos, so check that out on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Brad20071. Steve, how's your week been?
Oh, it's been pretty good. I've got the 3 days off from work, so I'm going to enjoy it while I can.
Nice one. We got much planned for Easter tomorrow or Sunday?
Not really. Probably a week or two ago, I knew Easter was coming up, and I forgot what day. And wow. I know work shuts down for Easter on Sunday, so Okay. But I didn't think about it beforehand. Anything coming up, I might want to do, but so I'll just kind of wing it.
Nice one. What about you, Scott? How's your week been, man?
Yeah, pretty good one actually. I had a couple of days off during the week, so good family time and enjoying a break down on the island.
Nice one. Good stuff. How's the weather down there at the moment? Is it warm or cold or?
Not swimming weather, but a bit of rain, but plenty of sunshine, so able to get out of the house a bit and drag the kids off the consoles for a while.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. All right, Jake, let's get into some news. We'll talk about them at the end of the at the end.
Can I add something for Scott?
Go ahead.
Hey, sure. at least the pool was not full of ice.
Yes, we don't have that to worry about in Australia, certainly.
Wow. Hey, good thing you don't. Ugh, ice burn.
Okay, let's move on. Okay, go ahead, James. Right. Let's go to the news story, mate.
All right, a couple of these are from Brad.
Yep.
Okay, first one, SBS On Demand now available for all in Google Play, Amazon App Store. And Samsung apps. So basically, they're made little app for their on-demand service. Basically, so Like if you want, if you're away from home, you could watch your the on demand somewhere else.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So this is good. This is pretty good for Android people. So you can actually watch the SBS demand. You can download it from the Google Play Store if you have an Android phone. So it's pretty good. So yeah, enjoy that if you've got an Android phone. Next story, Jacob.
QuickFlix has growth in its customers and streaming demand.
Yes, indeed. That's a great story. QuickFlix is going pretty well now. They've been around for a while, and they've added some pretty cool content to the service. And, yeah. Scott, have you heard about QuickFlix?
Yeah, certainly have. I think they've got a native app here in Windows 8, the new modern or Metro system.
Okay.
I don't think they have an app on Xbox from memory. I think Netflix in the States do. But, yeah, obviously just an alternate service, Netflix and QuickFlix, similar sort of products.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've seen your Twitter before. You're using Netflix on one of your machines or something?
Yeah, just been playing around with it today. We'll probably get onto that a little bit more, but yep. Just trying to bypass some of the region restrictions.
Nice one. All right. Can't wait to hear about that. Okay, Jacob, next story.
Zbox rebrands as Beamly.
Great name. Do you agree, Jacob?
Yeah. I wish it, the remote that you said that they put in there a while back would work on my Cox service.
Well, if you try now, if you try now on your box, it should work. It works on my Foxtel, so it's pretty good.
Okay.
So, Yeah, so give it a go. Let me know how you go. We're just going to add Hannah Silver in as a co-host. She's going to come and join and have a talk to us. Okay, go ahead. Next story, Jacob.
Let me select it for you. Okay, Twitter wants to encourage better mix of public tweets and private messaging.
Good story.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So basically, like, if you don't want people to see your tweets or anything, you can just privately instead of just putting it out there. Because sometimes you don't want people to see or hear what you have to say.
Well, there's so many apps out there now that do direct messaging. There's Twitter and Facebook and that sort of stuff. And, you know, Scott, do you use that sort of stuff, Facebook and that sort of thing? And
oh, look, I certainly have a Facebook page for my website and a personal one I use more for family.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I tend to be much more active on Twitter. That's probably the main social media I engage on, sort of Facebook secondary.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I agree. What about you, Steve? What's your view on them stories? And I know we're gonna chat again, but I just thought it might have just been easy to talk through them. Go ahead.
Actually, a little bit with what Jacob was saying about Twitter, now I've I had a Flickr app for a while and I finally started uploading some pictures, but there's something that kind of perturbed me a little bit. I took a photograph of my iPhone. I didn't realize it automatically synced my photos up to Flickr. The new version came out, so it allowed me to shut that off.
Yeah, that's good. Great, great update, by the way. That Flickr app, really nice design and looks great on the iPhone. And
Reminded me that too. Hopefully, because a lot of times they don't give you. Usually, it should be shut off by default, you know, to private a lot of things. But a lot of times they don't do that. They want you to share it as much as possible. So by then it's too late if they come up maybe with a new update or something like that. So hopefully most of these apps will go to choose it to set privately, but let people know, you know, you can make this public if you want to. But a lot of times they don't. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Scott, do you use Flickr at all?
Yeah, I have a Flickr photo stream that I use for my Lumia 1020, which is sort of, you know, the sort of best in breed camera phone app.
Okay.
So I tend to put a lot of photos up onto Flickr there just to show off some of the great shots you can take. But I think we're still probably waiting for a bit of an updated app from Flickr. I think the Windows Phone version is a little old, so we're sort of wanting to catch up on some of the new features.
Okay. Is Windows Phone... Is that behind in apps and stuff like with Flickr and Facebook? Do they still get a lot of updates on that sort of platform? Or
I think last year and so far this year, the gap on apps has closed pretty significantly on sort of your top 50 sort of most used apps.
Okay.
So there's very few apps now that actually don't have an official one in that sort of top list. So Instagram's on there, Facebook's in there, etc. So Twitter official client apps, all those sorts of things are there, as well as the apps that are baked into the OS. So some of them have been integrated into the operating system.
Okay.
So you can just from your MeTile and all that do various posting. Some of that's changing in the latest update. But, yeah, essentially most of the major apps are pretty much have caught up on Windows Phone. If not, in most cases there's an unofficial client that you can use which someone's put together that will give you basic functionality.
Okay, nice one, nice one. I know, I think Jason from TechOU, he's made a Ice TV app for Windows.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that. I know he does a few different apps out there, but I hadn't seen the Ice TV. I don't use their service.
Okay. I've seen something. I think it's a TV guy. I'm not sure. I need to speak to him about it. But yeah, looks cool. Looks good.
I think he's done a podcast app.
Seen that. Yep. Podcast app. Yeah. Yep. That's a nice app.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, next story, Jacob.
This is the one that I found for Facebook.
Okay.
I have two from Facebook.
Okay, go ahead.
Facebook nearby friends feature keep track of your pals, but only if they want you to. So basically, like the app Highlight, Facebook just, I would say, made the same idea.
Mm.
So basically, chat to them, see if they're near, but. If I get that, in my app, I shut it off, fastly.
Yeah, well, I use Highlight. I don't use it. I don't use anything to do with Facebook, that sort of thing. I'll shut that off too. But Highlight's pretty cool. I use Highlight a lot. Steve, what about you? What do you think about that story?
I could see. You know, you should be able to choose. You know, if you want certain things to go out. Of course, I kind of mentioned this before. You know, if you want certain things to be private or some things to be public, obviously. So I think that's good.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's good. There's an option there to turn off, right, Jacob?
Yes.
Okay, cool. That's good. That's a good option to have. What about you, Scott? Do you use Highlight or then them sort of apps at all? Or?
I don't really use Facebook to do any friends tracking or nearby or anything like that. So.
Okay, cool. All right, Jacob, next story.
Well, this one's from Gizmodo, and it's from General Mills, and it's about Facebook.
Okay, go ahead, mate. Read it out.
It says, you're not allowed to sue General Mills if you like them on Facebook. That includes if you download their coupons and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can't take them to court. Even if you have a little dispute, they'll like, meh, basically.
All right. Next story, Jacob.
One second. Okay. Nitrous IO launches a hack button to help developers to test open source code with one click. That sounds pretty good.
It does indeed. It does indeed.
It's like a debugger.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Next story.
I like that idea because it's a decoder.
Yep. Sounds good, Matt, to me.
All right. We got one more from Facebook, but this one is for all the people that have auto-playing videos on Facebook. How to turn off Facebook's auto-playing video ads.
Go ahead. Explain to people how to turn off. You told me about this yesterday. It was really cool.
Well, basically, on your desktop, it says here. It says for the Facebook desktop, on the computer, you can turn off auto-played videos. On Facebook, head to your drop-down menu in your upper right corner, and go to settings video. You can also click the link here. The link will be in the chat for anybody who would want to see that. And it'll say next on the autoplay video setting, click the on button to change it to off.
Good tip. That really annoyed me with the autoplay videos, you know.
Yeah, it takes up all, like, you're just sitting there, it just takes up a lot of memory. Drives you crazy.
Scott, do you have a view on them stories at all? Them last two, or?
Yeah, certainly. The last one's a great idea because, yeah, that annoys the hell out of me too, whether you're on the Age website or, you know, in Facebook, autoplay videos should just not be happening. But a couple of quick things I wanted to mention. First of all, the SBS On Demand from the top lead story.
Yep.
One of the few chances and opportunities where people in the Microsoft ecosystem can actually say we had that pretty well covered. So SBS On Demand was a Windows Phone title from back in 2012, I think.
Okay.
So, and we actually had SBS On Demand launch with the Windows 8 App Store. So pretty good coverage there, and nice to be able to say, hey, we've had that for ages, you Android users.
Yeah.
And I guess one other one we touched on about the App Gap. There's just an interesting website that people can go to if they were considering Windows Phone.
Okay.
It's a beta service on the web called xyo.net. And essentially what you do is you type in xyo.net, and up the top it'll be key in which type of phone you're looking at or which type of app, and you can actually match apps from, say, the iOS platform or Android platform and then see the equivalent app in the Windows Phone store.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So that you can actually check to make sure you've got coverage with either official or unofficial client apps.
Good stuff. Okay, anything else, Scott, you want to mention, mate?
No, that's probably it for the stories.
Right. Okay, what about you, Steve? Any views on them stories, mate?
Actually, the General Mills one is kind of interesting to me, and I think this kind of goes to like terms of service with different companies, and I could see where they're going to have a hard time in court if something happens, and where the courts are going to allow them to, you know, just because they put the in their terms of service. It might apply to some of their services in contests, but it, obviously if it interferes with the local laws or the federal laws or something like that, I could see where they would lose this. I know that a lot of companies or retail or whatever, I'll give you an example, people leaving their shopping carts out in the parking lot and then have it hit your car. A lot of times they'll put in the store, you know, we're not liable for any, you know, damage to your car due to shopping carts or whatever. And in many cases, people have been winning court, you know, court lawsuits over this and been winning because I think a lot of times they just do that just so people think, you know, that they're not responsible, and that's not always the case. So I'm kind of interested to see how this turns out in the long run.
All right. Anything else, Steve?
No, that was it.
What about you, Jacob? What's your view on them stories?
I was telling you as I was reading you.
All right. That's good. Good stories, mate. Good stories always. We've got Scott from WP Down Under. Welcome, Scott, to the show.
Thanks,
mate.
Brad.
Good to have you on, buddy. And tell us about what you do with Microsoft.
Yeah, so essentially I'm someone that's well and truly sort of a fan and enthusiast of the Microsoft ecosystem, so whether that's across phone, PC, Xbox, and so on.
Yep.
And a few years ago I was sort of doing a bit of work through other forums like, you know, Whirlpool and things like that, where I was sort of advocating about Windows Phone and talking about my experiences. I think I wrote the wiki on Windows Phone originally at Whirlpool, and then I thought, you know, bugger that, I'll start putting my own blog together rather than doing work on other people's sites. And so, yeah, put together my first web blog and started off as sheeds.com, and then renamed it into WP Down Under. And probably for best part of two and a half years, I've been sort of advocating about Windows Phone, trying to be a bit of an enthusiast in the community, advocating, asking, you know, companies in Australia and organisations to try and get behind Windows Phone and providing help and feedback to people in the community.
Nice one, nice one. And hello, Hannah. Welcome, Hannah, to the show.
Thanks for having me. Sorry I'm late.
That's okay. Good to have you on. That is that we're speaking with Scott. He does Microsoft things
cool. And
social media.
Hey, Hannah.
Yeah. Hi, how's it going?
She's new. She's just coming halfway through the show, so.
No problem. So I guess of late, the last few months, the website's taken a little bit of a backseat, and probably most of my activism and engagement is through Twitter.
Yep.
So I'm pretty active on the handle WP_DownUnder. And yeah, we sort of worked through the Australian hashtag, which is WP8AU. So that's sort of our community hashtag here in Australia. And yeah, we sort of talk about the latest developments. Obviously, there's been a lot happening on Windows Phone in the last couple of weeks with the build conference and the release of the new 8.1 OS update.
Yep.
So there's people can get early access to that. It's not officially released, but if you sign up to be an MS developer for free online, doesn't cost you anything. You can actually then download the update, put it on your phone. Comes with a swag and new features. Some of them sort of catching up with the likes of Android and iOS, activation centers and notification centers and so on.
Nice one.
And it's got a digital assistant in beta form that's available if your region's set to US, which is called Cortana, which has been named after the computer AI out of the Halo series. So, yeah, there's sort of some new features that have come out, but there's a whole tweak of, tweaks and enhancements to make the system function better and work more smoothly.
All right, sounds good. Scott, Jacob, any questions for Scott?
Well, what was the best thing you wrote on your blog for recently?
I guess recently I've been involved in a bit of a long-running engagement here with the government broadcaster in Australia, the ABC. And up till now, the ABC has not been putting any apps out for the Windows Phone platform. So last year I sort of started a campaign there with a hashtag OurABC2, and that progressed into a Freedom Information Act request on the ABC to try and provide some data, and that's just been answered. So I've had a lot of community support through that post more recently, and I'm still working with them to try and challenge them about their lack of app support for Windows Phone. Mm. So that's a very active thing I'm doing at the moment. Also, some of the other government service apps, like we've got a Fire Ready app here in Australia, which is used to check for bushfires and alerts. And I've been trying to get an update of that onto Windows Phone with the relevant authorities that are behind that app. So there's a lot of that sort of activism work, and then just a lot of sharing helps and advice online with various community members. Brad, I think you wanted to know about the Xbox One.
Yeah, please. Yeah, please tell us about that. Yeah.
So obviously the Xbox One launched a little while ago, and I got it a day one version and have been enjoying playing around with it, particularly since Titanfall came out, which is a fantastic game for the platform.
Yep.
But one of the things that you can do with the Xbox, which isn't widely known with the latest version, is you can change your regions on it to US and download the apps out of the US store. Now, some of those apps, the way they're coded, won't function when you change your region back to Australia. But if you're using popular DNS, geoblock services, like something like an Unblock and all that, you can actually, I've just tested this morning, you can actually get access to the US Netflix and Amazon Prime apps, change your region back to Australia, and with your DNS routed through the US, you can actually use your subscriptions to those services and watch through the apps here in Australia on the Xbox One. So that might help you, tip you over the edge for getting one yourself.
Yeah, I do want to get one, yeah. I am actually using Netflix on my iPad, and I'm using what's it VPN called?
Unitelly.
That's it, Unitelly, yeah. that would work great then. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, well, certainly I've just had running this morning, checked out before the podcast that I was able to use a Netflix account to run content here. And also, as I said, Amazon Prime. Now, I didn't have an access to try some of the other US services. I think there's FX Now and is it Vudu?
Vudu, yep.
So I don't have accounts for those services, but there's a possibility they could work as well with the appropriate DNS changes.
Nice one. Okay, Hannah, any questions for Scott?
No, I'm just enjoying listening to you talk.
Okay, good stuff, Hannah, good stuff. I'm glad you're enjoying our speaking. You use Netflix, don't you, Hannah? You love Netflix.
Yes, I do.
What sort of shows have you been watching at the moment?
I'm generally addicted to Star Trek Next Generation.
Okay.
And other than that, I've just been watching some random movies. I watched a terrible one yesterday. I watched Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. That was awful, but watched the whole thing because it was on Netflix.
Okay, cool. Okay. Steve, any questions?
Actually, I didn't know Hannah was a Trekkie, but that's a long story.
I'm not allowed to call myself a Trekkie.
A Trekkie.
I just happen to watch a lot of Star Trek, that's all.
No. I'm kind of a Trekkie. I got a phaser in the other room.
That's insane.
Yeah, you mentioned actually a couple of questions for you. How? One of them is how many Windows apps do we have now? I'm guessing there's been I know you've been trying to get a push for more apps, but how much is generally out there right now?
Oh, I can't remember the last numbers for the total number of apps in the Windows Phone Store globally, but it would be hundreds of thousands. So as I said, I think, you know, for a couple of years there, I think there was a justified argument that there was an app gap in the marketplace between competing platforms, iOS and Androids. But I think now your major and most popular apps generally have a client available, a native official app title in Windows Phone Store. If not, there's unofficial clients there, but the majority of the key ones there, I mean, some of the specific ones, like I don't think Snapchat's there, a lot of kids use that these days, but most, you know, the WhatsApp and Viber and Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you know, all of your key major apps have official versions pretty much in the store. YouTube in there, which was a bit of a saga with Microsoft and so on, and Google and being blocked and so on about YouTube. But generally, they're all there, or most of them are there. So people will really get by, I think. And after that, you get to a point where the total number of apps in the store is sort of a bit of a, you know, how long is a piece of string? You know, has it got the apps I need? That's probably enough, you know. And with some of those services online, you can check those out. You can go in and check the Windows Phone Store online to see if your apps are there, if you were considering a switch. So that's all pretty cool. And actually, a cool little thing that I thought I'd mention we did here in Australia is I was behind in partnership with a local app developer a campaign, I guess you could say, called developdownunder.com.
Okay.
So that's another website you can go to. If you're in Australia and you're looking at a Windows phone, developdownunder.com, there's an app in the store and there's a website, and any Australian developer putting a Windows phone app together can submit their app to this catalog, and then it goes into the app so that the community here of users in Australia can actually look for locally made apps and support developers here.
Okay, nice one.
Yeah,
nice.
So we've got that website up, and that got some good coverage when we launched it. And I think at the moment we've got almost 500 locally made apps in the catalog that are available, and with nearly 150 developers.
Nice one. How long does it take for an app to get approved on the app on the store on the?
Well, as potentially as recently as tweets that I've seen in the last week or so, you've got developers that are getting apps approved in a couple of hours.
Oh, nice one. Okay.
So, you know, it can be as quick as that. Rarely, unless there's issues that you're going to get rejected on, does it go more than a few days. So one of the real strengths of the Windows Phone platform is actually the developer experience. So it's the tool sets that are available for developers are pretty pretty brilliant from you know, from feedback from Android and iOS users that come across and actually start developing for Windows Phone. Lots of support documentation, lots of support courses, lots of free stuff from Microsoft that people can get access to, the Visual Studio experience. So it's really one of the core strengths there about actually once you get people in and have a look at it, and when you've got things like Xamarin that people can now piggyback off into development for Windows Phone and the Unity projects, you've got a lot of stuff that supports it now. There's actually, if anyone in Australia is interested in signing up for news and information about developing for Windows Phone, there's actually a local Microsoft website which has all free training events and access to phones for people to play around with to do developing on.
Okay.
So if you key in wp.msdeveloper.com.au, you can actually register there and actually see all the events, see some community people and links to other enthusiasts that can help you out developing. And you can actually get tokens to sign up for free to be a developer and get access to loan phones to play around with.
Oh, nice one. Okay, good one.
So, yeah, it's one of the real strengths, and it's something that, yeah, we engage a lot in through the community on Twitter.
Very cool, very cool. Now, what's phones been popular so far now, Scott, with the Microsoft phone?
Well, there's a couple of different breaks because the Windows phone, since Lumia, the Nokia Lumias have over 80% of the market. So they just dominate. Obviously, Nokia is being acquired by Microsoft with the devices division. Mm-hmm. So essentially it becomes a Microsoft phone shortly. But the Lumias have over 80% of the share globally, and that's the same in Australia. They actually knocked off Android devices as being the most popular entry-level cheap mobile phone device, the Lumia 520. So I think it's the highest selling phone in its price bracket in Australia.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. And then you've got all the way up to the sort of rich, you know, premium device of the Lumia 1020, which is what I cart around.
Okay.
And that's the one with the 41 megapixel sensor in it. So
damn. Okay.
It's just incredible for photography. I've actually got the second most recent post on the blog is just some of the snaps I took recently getting up for a sunrise hike. And the camera is just incredible in that.
Wow. Okay. Anna, what do you think about that?
I'm pretty interested in the idea of a phone with an amazing camera in it, because I have come to photography when I was a kid and through film, and for a long time, even while everyone had their new digital cameras out, I was like, nah, I'm sticking with film. And in the end, the convenience of having the digital camera on the phone just became too much, and I just gave in to taking photos with my phone. So, yeah, I've just got the iPhone, which I was just thinking the other day, I've got an iPad, iPad 2, and it's still, the mind just boggles that they put such a crappy camera on it. I cannot believe that Apple put a crap camera on the iPad, one of the new ones. So, yeah, what did you say, 41 megapixel? That's amazing.
That's right. So, if you're shooting incredible. If you're shooting in the standard frame format, then how it works is it takes, I think, a 35 or a 36 megapixel major image, and then it uses all of that extra sensor information that's been taken in the image to oversample it into a 5 megapixel JPEG, which is the shot that you can share and see. Mm-hmm. So it actually gives you a really sharp, brilliant color reproduction 5 megapixel image, and at any stage, because it's got that 35 megapixel, whatever it is, large image, you can actually go back in and reframe your shot anywhere in all of that information to come out with a new 5 megapixel JPEG. So you can actually zoom in 3 times optically from the original image without having to reframe or go in and, you know, reshoot it.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool. Really worth having a look at. If you like photography, it's got all of your manual controls, your ISO, shutter speed, exposure. You can take images in DNG, RAW, format for post-processing Lightroom. So it really is nothing comes close to it in the current market for camera experience on a phone.
Okay, good answer. Okay, what about Steve? Go ahead.
Well, actually, I was going to wondering about the camera as well, but you already talked about it. Now that Microsoft has released the Windows Phone operating system to the manufacturers and not charging them anymore, how do you think that'll do for adoption rates, perhaps with other models of phones? Because I think at one time I've heard that, of course, they don't release this information, but I heard normally Microsoft might charge $8 per phone or something like that. But since that's going away, how do you think that's going to do on adoption rate for other platform, other phones?
Look, I think it's a good question, Steve. I think no doubt it's a great move by Microsoft, because I think that what they announced was that under a certain form factor size, I can't remember if it was less than 9 inch or so, you know, 8 inch or under, they're going to basically give up, offer the OS for free with no licensing fees. What it actually does is it means that Android will actually generate more revenue off the patents that Microsoft own for Android than they'll get on a Windows Phone handset. So it may actually drive some of the OEMs to actually say, hey, from that perspective, it's cheaper for us to throw out a Windows Phone model than it is to actually put another Android exclusive device out. So if it increases the breadth and range of devices available to the market and it puts more OEM support behind the platform, then that's a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great for everybody, I think.
Absolutely, because, I mean, it's probably not a healthy situation to have, you know, 85-90% of the market share of sales and all tied up in one brand, which is the Nokia Lumia range.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, they need to get Samsung out with more phones, which I think they are. Samsung, I think, are releasing another phone.
Actually, I've heard, too, that Samsung kind of dropped Windows Phone. I just remotely heard this. I don't know if it's on one phone or most of them. So maybe perhaps this would, of course, I know they're with Android, and supposedly they also have their own version operating system, which I'm kind of wondering they're going to fork out. That way they don't have to be dependent on Google. But so perhaps this would be a, you know, get Samsung maybe to use some their Windows Phone operating system on some of their phones.
Yeah, I think that the some of the other OEMs, so originally back in Windows Phone 7 at launch, you had LG, you had HTC, you know, all present with a range of phones. I think, you know, the fact that some of those phones weren't great devices in terms of, you know, their form factors, some of them were a bit ordinary, didn't help matters. But in an ideal world, there's no reason why you couldn't actually have someone like Samsung say, here's the Galaxy S5. And here's the equivalent, you know, hardware specs available on a Windows Phone release version. So there's a Galaxy Windows Phone S5 or something like that. You know, that would provide great market choice for consumers. They can say, well, there's the equivalent spec phone available with quad-core CPU and some of the other specs that Windows Phone's now catching up to. And they could just sit there and say, well, which platform do I like the look of more? But then you get down this whole rabbit warren as well about the retail experience. You know, historically there's been very, very poor knowledge and support in the retail by salespeople about Windows Phone. They just haven't had a lot of experience with it, and they don't do a lot to push it. They'll just push people to the next Android device that they make a good commission on. So there's a lot of structural stuff that needs to be changed, but no doubt starting with more devices and more manufacturers and OEMs offering Windows Phone, that's where they've got to be.
All right. What about the Xbox One, Scott? What have you been up to with that, mate? Any interesting stuff?
Well, yeah, mostly lately, I'm not a huge gamer, and I tend to only restrict my Xbox One usage to the weekends.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Sort of, you know, put it out of reach where I can't delve into it during the week. Mm-hmm. But I have been playing Titanfall a lot. It's just a classic game, so I'm not sure if you're aware, but that was, I think, some of the original developers behind the first Call of Duty's games broke off to form Respawn, and they developed in conjunction with Microsoft the first this first exclusive title, which is Titanfall, and it's multiplayer only pretty much, and it's essentially takes all the Call of Duty game style into a sort of mech warrior sort of, you know, you can play as a solo pilot or individual, or you can jump into a mech machine and then try and blow the hell out of other mech machines in the game. It's fantastic, good fun.
Sounds fun.
And it actually uses the Microsoft Azure servers to actually offload some of the content from the game to the cloud, which is pretty clever to try and actually improve the experience.
How about third-party applications on the Xbox One?
So in Australia on Xbox One, the launch titles that we had and where we currently probably sit is the Crackle service, Machinima, is it? Machinima?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I can't remember that one. We've just had released we've got access to the MLB TV baseball service, SBS On Demand and 10Play, so Channel 10, the free-to-air station here, both of those services are available on Xbox One. You've naturally got Microsoft services like Skype and In Explorer, TED, Twitch, and YouTube. They're sort of the native apps that are here. There are more apps available in the US. And as I said, for instance, you change your region on your Xbox One to the US, and then I was able to install the NFL official app
that's
over in the States.
Nice one.
Then change your region back to Australia, and then you can sit there and watch all your catch-up content and some of that stuff from the NFL. So,
do you need to change your DNS address?
Some of the apps you don't. So NFL, for instance, will work without having to do a sort of unblock service to change your DNS.
Okay.
But the subscription ones that are all geo blocked, like your, as we talked before, FX Now and Netflix and Amazon Prime, etc., that you do need to do a bypass through geo blocks to access those here.
Yeah,
and some of them still wouldn't work. I just tried, is it Fox Now? That's the catch up for Fox TV in the States.
Okay, is it? Okay, Fox Now, I never heard that one.
I just tried running that and I kept getting a server error, and I was trying to run everything even with the unblocked service running. So maybe there's some other check it's doing for Australia and picking up some sort of error. But, yeah, I looked at there are going to be more apps coming. So I think ABC in Australia, I think, are in discussions about ABC iView for Xbox One, because it's already on 360.
Yep.
And I'm anticipating over the next 6-7 months we're probably going to see more apps being rolled out in Australia for Xbox One.
So how come there's no ABC iView on the phone yet and tablet? Is there an app on that for that?
Look, I think Android users would be pretty familiar with the fact that the ABC has been pretty iOS-centric in its approach over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, the Android only got its iView app in, what, November, December last year? So it was a long fight. And look, the share information I've got out of the ABC is that what they see from their logs and from their hits on their side is they see about 55% of their market hits coming from iOS devices and about 35% coming from Android devices and then 10% of the rest, of which Windows phones are a very low number there. And if you have a think of that, those numbers in Australia, they're actually the flip side around of the market position for share in the phones. You know, Android's the clear dominant market player here with 60%, and Apple's been slipping. Apple's been going backwards as Android's been growing.
Right. Yeah.
So what that tells me is that if you've got people coming to your website in a complete 180 degree turnaround from the share of devices in the market, then as a business or an organization, you must be presenting yourself in a certain light to capture more of those users. And that's what I think the ABC are doing. And yeah, so I'm pretty frustrated and been in a sort of long running sort of battle with them about trying to get feedback on Windows Phone. But but I did get my Freedom of Information Act. I did manage to get data logs for 12 months usage of their websites to see which devices are hitting their sites. And in particular, I'll be putting a post out shortly where I've identified what statistical impact my campaign last year had for our ABC2, where we got Windows Phone users in Australia to hit 4 different websites from their phones over a weekend. And statistically, we wanted to see what level of jump in the hits they saw. And I've been able to get or ascertain all that information from the ABC.
And what about a Foxtel?
Foxtel app for Windows Phone is not yet out. They've been citing low market share and haven't confirmed. I think they're looking at it, but they haven't confirmed an ETA. What else is there? I think we've got the Telstra 24/7 apps. As far as ABC footy goes, they're releasing the NRL live app later this year, and they're working on an AFL app at the moment. So you can see the lag that's taken. There has been a particular lag in video streaming type apps coming to Australia. So because of the codecs that Windows Phone uses, it's slightly different to what the current Apple and iOS ones are, and Google ones. So you'd basically need a third-party service, or you need to invest to generate different codecs to send content to Windows phones.
Nice. Okay. All right. Cool. What about the apps on the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One? What's the difference between them two? And not much difference.
Most of the apps that are on most of the apps on the Xbox One are apps that are available on the Xbox 360. I think the Xbox 360 does have a slightly broader range. As I said, it's got iView and a couple of other in there, others in there, but they just haven't because they're different code base. So from the Xbox 360 to the Xbox One, you're basically having to, do the apps on a different code system. One of the things Microsoft has been working to is this universal apps concept, where they're trying to actually get the underlying APIs and base code very similar across whether it's a console, phone, or PC with Windows 8. And the latest Windows Phone 8.1 does that. So pretty much the APIs, as I understand it, for your phone, developers can actually use Visual Studio and set up to actually put the sort of the underneath belly of their apps together once, and then just tweak it for the different front ends and sort of almost publish once, you know, for multiple apps. Not quite there yet, but it's getting closer and closer, which will provide a lot of reach for developers. You know, you think about the ability to actually create, one set of code and then just do with some tweaks, just publish to 3 or 4 different platforms. It's pretty awesome.
All right, nice one. Hannah, do you have any views on them, on what Scott was saying?
No, I'm just listening.
Cool stuff. Have you seen the ABC iView app on the iPad, Hannah?
Yeah, I use it. I use it sometimes.
Yeah, it's a good app. Nice, very nice design. I'd like to have
it. Yeah. When I watch iView, I've got a Samsung Smart TV, so I tend to watch it through the app on that, which is great.
Okay, it's nice one. Yep, good stuff. Jacob, any questions?
Not really.
You got a question about Skype, though, haven't you?
Well, I would have to ask offline.
Okay, all right. But you use, what about Windows 8, Scott? Can you tell us about that? The new Windows 8 and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so look, I guess Windows 8 has had a lot of coverage in the media of late because obviously Microsoft have had to backpedal a little bit. They were probably guilty of putting too much change into the operating system for the average user, and particularly for enterprise. So Windows 7 to Windows 8. Windows 8, I think, is a superior operating system. I think the back end underneath it runs better than Windows 7 again. But the Metro, or the modern sort of style start screen that they introduced, is sort of and some of the touch features that they added in sort of put off some of the traditional keyboard and mouse desktop users.
Okay.
So over the last few months, there's been a few different updates that have been coming out that have been sort of backpedaling from that a little bit and introducing things like taskbars and start menus and, you know, shutdown icons on the screen, etc. So what you really have is a situation where they're sort of trying to appeal back to the masses with some tweaks to the system for desktop and mouse users. So I tend to find, you know, I tend to be fairly desktop central. So I love a, you know, powerful desktop PC and sitting on that playing around with the computer that way. I think touch on tablets and phones is sort of more just general entertainment and fun. You know, the Surface tablet, you know, sort of combines the best of both worlds a little bit. But, yeah, essentially Windows 8.1 has just come out, and, again, that provided some tweaks for desktop and mouse, so that's now available. And the key thing with Windows 8.1 is I think they're announcing that all Windows 8 users have to upgrade to the 8.1 update to continue getting support. They're making it like a compulsory update. Okay. And as you probably know, Windows XP has also lapsed for support from Microsoft, which is pretty public. So essentially, everyone now that's got XP on their PC really should have by now been weighing up a move to Windows 8. And in my mind, if with a couple of tweaks to the operating system running Windows 8.1, there's no need to be thinking about Windows 7. You could just go to Windows 8.1 and just run off the desktop.
Okay. All right. With the Windows Phone, what sort of messaging options do you have on there?
Pretty much all the major ones.
Because I love iMessage, and I'm just wanting to know what do you have compared with iMessage to what you guys have, like anything like that.
Well, you've got, as far as messaging apps go, you've got access to, you know, Facebook messaging, Twitter direct messaging, Viber, WhatsApp.
What's the built-in one to
That's what I mean, like built-in like ones, the default sort of things.
As far as the default one goes, I think... just trying to remember.
Probably just text messaging, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just the default one is just SMS. So SMS, just using SMS service.
Yeah.
And then you'd basically have an option to contact people via any of the other apps or the integrated apps previously, which were Twitter and Facebook were the two apps that would integrate for messaging.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the main two I use. What about you, Hannah? What apps do you use for messaging?
All of them. I have Apple, so I use iMessage and Facebook, and I have a growing community of family members using WhatsApp and Viber. My dad's text messaging has stopped working. He doesn't get my texts, so now we Viber.
Oh wow! Okay. Okay, sounds cool, fun. What about you, Steve?
I mean, I primarily use the iPhone, so whatever, you know, iMessages or whatever.
Yeah.
Mostly on that one.
Yeah, iMessage, and I never use Skype on my phone. What about you, Jacob?
Just iMessage and Facebook. That's about my main ones.
Yeah, I've been getting into the Facebook Messenger app. That's a cool app.
Yeah, I think they made that separate now.
I think they're making you to use it now. I think you can't use the actual messages on the Facebook app phone. On the phone.
Yeah, they're copying Google Plus.
All right. Any more questions, Steve, for Scott?
No, I think that's it.
That's it. All right, Scott, where can they get hold of you and if they want to ask you any more questions, mate?
Yeah, so you can all my contact details are via the blog, which is wpdownunder.com.
Yep.
I guess where I'm tend to be most active at the moment, and you can my links to my Facebook and everything are off that, is Twitter. So the Twitter handle is @WP_downunder.
All right, good stuff. You can get me on Twitter @BradOzandTechWebcast. Jacob Jones, what about you?
Find me @JazzBot326691Z and @TechLuster.
Okay, which is no longer around. Hannah, what about you?
I'm on Twitter. Hannah is spelled HANNA. If you want to Google me, Hannah Silver, I'm everywhere.
Cool.
Yep. Like a plague.
She's everywhere all over the internet. Steve, what about you?
Did she see like a plague?
Yeah,
she did. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, it's Passover. It's a relevant topic.
Oh, okay. You can find me on Twitter as chatterbox_live. And, of course, my justin.tv Linux Cool Dude channel here. You also find the live version of the Tech Webcast. Yay.
Yay. Good to have you rebroadcasting your show, mate, every week.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's very fun. And good videos too, Jacob, by the way.
Thank you very much, Brad.
And please share them every day. Thank you for being on. Scott, appreciate your time, mate.
Thank you very much for having me on, Brad, and nice chatting with you all.
Yep, you too, mate. Thank you.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more tech talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guest they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!